But we want to pick up where we left off. And I want to talk to you today about an event that you've heard about, you're familiar with, but I'm not sure you can back it up with Scripture. And my big question for you this morning is, do you really believe it? Do you really believe what we say we believe? Every other chair in front of you, there's a QR code, and that's going to take you right to our website. It will take you right to the outline that I'll be teaching from, all the verses that we'll be studying. So I invite you to use that. Let that be a friend to you this morning. It will also take you to a Connect card. And if you're worshiping with us today, you're our guest, maybe you're just in town visiting family, or maybe you're new in the community, you're looking for a church, I would love for you to just fill out that Connect card. Hadn't been able to do this for the last 3 weeks, but if you will just give me a name and an email address, and then let me respond to you in the morning, that would be great. All right? You ready? You got something to write with? All right, here's our topic. You ever heard of the rapture? Sure. Back it up with Scripture. Well, I don't know that I can. Oh, that's another one of those things in our systematic study of our walk with God that needs to drive every day of your life. But I would dare question, I wonder if you even thought about it this week. Huh, we say we believe it, but if it doesn't affect our lives, do we really believe it? Well, let's talk about what it is. The rapture, what is this event that we know as the rapture? Well, you won't find that word in our English Bible. It comes from a verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Let me read it in English, and then we'll talk about how do you get rapture out of that. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says this, then we who are alive, who's it talking about? We who? Believers. Then the believers who are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's what you need to underline. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. When the New Testament scriptures were being first translated, and in that Latin translation, that phrase caught up in Latin is this word, R-A-P-T-U-R-O, with the verb suffix there, rapturo, right? And we made rapture out of that. And it means to be caught up together with the Lord. And as you study through the scripture, it talks about that there's coming a day when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to call believers from the sky, from the heavens, right? And it says that the dead bodies of every believer who's ever lived are going to be caught up together with him first. And then it says, then we believers who are alive are going to be caught up to be with the Lord forever. Suddenly, I mean, you don't just gradually begin like a rocket down at the Cape, just begin lifting off and everybody's in awe. Oh, look at them go. No, it's just instantaneously, bip, and the believers are gone. Well, do you know it before it happens? Mm-mm. Scripture says there's no warning. It just happens all of a sudden. Well, now, wait a minute. Let's take this a little bit farther. Let me lay out some groundwork. There are a lot of details about the rapture that are not completely spelled out, right? For anybody to say, I know everything there is to know, they're lying to you. For somebody to say, I know how it happens, or I know when it will happen, they're lying to you. Because everything is not spelled out in Scripture, we're on a need-to-know basis. There are a lot of things that are. The details are given to us really plainly, but there are a lot of things that aren't totally explained, and this is one of them. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verse 51, it says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We who? Believers shall not all sleep. Is that like at night at 9 or 10 o'clock or whatever? No. Sleep is a reference to death. We shall not, every believer will not taste death, but we shall all be changed when Jesus comes in the cloud in this event called the rapture. Verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You know, years and years ago, a study came out and everybody was in awe of it. Scientists finally were able to time how long it takes your eye to twitch. You ever had a twitch in your eye and you just felt like everybody is staring at you, right? Your eye is sitting here and you can feel it just twitching away, but nobody else can see it. And so you're so self-conscious about it. And so you just, you know, you're kind of doing like this. They found that the eye will twitch in 1/10,000th of a second, faster than your eye can detect. And scripture says that's how quickly the rapture is going to happen. It's going to be so sudden that all of a sudden you're looking at somebody and they're just gone. I mean, they're gone. And you're looking around, you've got no clue what just happened. In a twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, the dead will be raised first, the bodies of every believer who's ever died, and then we who? Believers who are still alive shall be changed, instantly changed. Is this the same thing as the second coming? No, it's two separate events. Because what do we say about the rapture? Jesus doesn't come to the earth. He comes in the clouds and calls us to meet him in the clouds. But when he comes back for the second time, he will come bodily to this earth and his foot will land where we were just a few days ago on the Mount of Olives. He will touch down right then and right there. And scripture says that the church, not just our church, but the church. Do you know what we're talking about? The church, right? Believers of every nation, people who are truly born again. The church comes with him. And it says that he will come and set up his kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years, and he's going to rule and reign from the Temple Mount there in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. Two entirely, completely different events, all right? So don't confuse them in any way. So here's, we talked about the rapture. Here's one more difference in the two events. In the rapture, who sees the rapture happen? Just other believers, right? If the people, whether they're in your family or at your work or at school or at the ballpark, wherever you are, when it happens, if there's somebody there who's not a believer, you disappear and it's so fast, there's no warning, nobody sees it. But at the second coming, it's radically different because the Bible says that when he comes back, and the armies of heaven are with him, and the believers who've been taken to heaven come back with him, right? Every eye on this globe sees him come. What a radically different event. So you cannot confuse the two at all. So let's answer some questions. So when's this going to happen? Man, if this thing is as big as you say it is, tell me what to look for so that I can see it coming. Well, when's it going to happen? That's a good question. Here's an exact answer. This is something that we know for sure. We don't know. You're exactly right. Nobody knows. Look what scripture says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. But of that day, referring to when Christ comes back, that day and hour, no one knows. not even the angels of heaven, my Father only. Nobody knows. Look what 1 Thessalonians 5:2 says. For you yourselves know perfectly, you who? Believers. For you, the believers, yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Do you know when the thief is coming to your house? No, because if you did, you'd have a surprise waiting on him, right? No, he comes when you're least suspecting it. You don't know when he's coming, but you've got to be ready. So here's exactly when he's coming. We don't know. Nobody does. How does his coming, let's kind of narrow it down just a little bit. Let me draw with my hands. Can we use this middle section of chairs right here and call this? Let's look at one of the end time events that we do know about. We all know about the Great Tribulation, right? You've heard about that. That 7-year period of time when God's judgment is poured out on the earth. Let's let this middle. All right, you're sitting in the middle section. I feel sorry for y'all. Y'all are in the tribulation, all right? So we know this is coming, and we know a lot of facts about the tribulation, but how does this event called the rapture, how does it fit in? How does it correlate with this thing called, in the last days, the tribulation or the great tribulation, all right? So here's, let's see, how are you looking? This is the beginning of the tribulation, and this is the end of it, okay? So where does this rapture happen? Well, there's a lot of opinions, and opinions are kind of like armpits. Everybody has one, and some people have more than one, right? And everybody thinks that theirs is right. Every opinion, they always have a verse of scripture to back up what they believe. But every opinion's got its strengths and's got its weaknesses. And there's a lot of opinions. Does the rapture happen at the very end of the tribulation? You know, are we going to have to go through this 7-year period of time if we survive it, and the rapture comes when the tribulation is over? We rapture up and almost do a U-turn and come back with him to end that tribulation. That's one theory. There's a theory that says that the rapture happens right in the middle of the tribulation. 7 years, so 3.5 years in, we know when it's going to start, so we can almost pinpoint when this is going to be. Does it happen in the middle of the tribulation? Or, as some people think, does it happen before the tribulation ever starts? Those are the three main theories. They've all got strengths and all got weaknesses. Let me, we could spend all morning making a case for each one and against each one. Let's just talk real quickly because I want you to see something. Let's go in the same order we just did. The people that say that the rapture is not going to happen until after the tribulation is over, one of their main verses that they base this off of is John 16:33. And it's a verse, once we get it started, you're going to say, oh yeah, I remember that verse. It says, these things I've spoken to you that you may, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have what? Tribulation. Watch that word, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. In the world, who has tribulation? You who? Believers, all right? Here's the mistake that's made. Tribulation there in no way, not grammatically in any way, refers to the great tribulation. You had tribulation of some kind this week. You probably had tribulation at home. You know, and if you didn't, I'd love for you to speak next week on how to have peace in your home with your children and your family, right? You may have gone through tribulation at work. Tribulation are trials and heartaches and hard times. Have you had tribulations? Absolutely. We've all had tribulations, but it's not talking about this tribulation, right? And if he came at the end of the tribulation, here's what you can't lose sight of. That means that you as a believer and you collectively as the church, every believer has gone through God's wrath and God's judgment. All right, now listen, what's the purpose of the tribulation? So that God can just show how angry he is? Absolutely not. For God to punish people? No, it's to discipline two groups. It's to discipline Israel for denying the Messiah. And it's to discipline the nations of the world for how they've treated Israel. The church is not being judged. The church is not being punished. The church is not being in any way disciplined, all right? That's the mistake that a lot of people use. So this is not very popular for people to say, I believe that he's coming at the end. What about the middle? This is the least of the three different viewpoints. This is the weakest of all and the least believes, but it's out there, so we're going to talk about it. You know, that midpoint, see, if you hold to that, again, you've lumped the church in with Israel and in with the nations of the world that we're being judged, and that is not the case. But here's another thing that that implies too. If it's not until the midpoint of the tribulation, how can I stand here and tell you today that the rapture could happen at any moment? Well, it can't because we're not in the tribulation. So the word imminence, we believe in the imminent return of Christ is how it's worded. The fact that Jesus could come back at any minute of any day, he could come back this morning, but not if you hold this view. You don't have to worry about him coming back because we're not in the tribulation. And we will know pretty close because we'll know the exact day that the tribulation starts. And 3.5 years later, then that would pinpoint when he's coming back. And who knows when he's coming back? Nobody. Let's talk about this. So, what about the people that say, I believe in a pre-rapture, a pre-tribulation rapture? All right, so this is the fact. We're not involved in judgment. Why isn't the church involved in judgment in any way? Not judgment of Israel and not of the other nations, because the church has already been judged. Where was the church judged? At the cross. When you surrendered your life to him and you say, God, I give you my life. He came for the purpose of teaching us who God is, for the purpose of living a pure, holy, righteous, sinless life, for the purpose of going to the cross as our substitute, as our Savior, as our sacrifice. And when our sins were judged at the cross, we were provided forgiveness. Forgiveness was made available to every one of us. It's up to you whether you accept that or not, but our sins as a believer were judged at the cross. Oh, so if we say we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, let me ask you a question. Does that mean that the rapture starts the tribulation? Now, there's a lot of people that say yes. Oh, when the rapture happens, that starts the 7 years. No, it doesn't. What starts those 7 years? God gave us the sign. He said, this is what will start the great tribulation. It's not the rapture. It's when the Antichrist signs a peace treaty with Israel. That starts the 7 years. The clock starts ticking from that point on. Well, so when does the rapture happen? Prior to that. By how long? A couple of days? Maybe. A couple of years? Maybe. 5 or 10 years? possibly. What else needs to happen in the whole prophetic timeline of Scripture? Is there anything else that needs to happen before the rapture happens? No. Everything that had to take place before the rapture has already happened. So what does that mean? It could happen today. It could happen tonight. It could happen this week or next month, or it could happen 20 years from now. But nothing else needs to happen before he comes to get the believers. Oh, folks, think about this. When we studied, as we studied through the Scripture, and we studied the tribulation, and we talked about different events and different players, world leaders, world countries that are going to be dominant in this tribulation period of time, and the alliances that since 2,700 years ago when Ezekiel wrote about the tribulation and he called out leaders by name and he called out the countries they lead and he said these three will have an alliance. Never before in history have they been allies, but they are now. We're seeing the end time players join forces. And if we're already seeing what's going to happen here, let me ask you a question. Aren't we close? Aren't we close? If you can already see the events lining up, you got to know that we're close. Oh, goodness. Lots of questions to answer. All right? So here we go. Let's ask another question. So when the rapture happens, does everybody, beep, automatically disappear and go to heaven? No, not at all. And that's very clear in Scripture. I want to take you to a couple passages of Scripture. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 39, it says, "And did not know until the Lord came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Two men will be working in the field. One's going to be taken and one's going to be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other's going to be left." Everybody doesn't get to go. Well, what's the criteria? On what basis are people taken and people left? Is it the people that are bad people, bad parents? I mean, is it the people that are drunk and in jail and running around and just hate God? Well, those are probably some of them that are left behind. But the ones that are taken, it's this one basic criteria. The ones with a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ are going to be taken. The ones that have said, "God, I need a Savior. God, I'm a sinner and I'm separated from you by my sin. And whether I'm 8 years old or 38 or 98, God, I need to be forgiven and I need you to come and live inside of me and forgive me. God, I want to be your child. Thank you for loving me enough that you came and died on that cross and made my forgiveness," what? "Available. That's what I want, God. I want to be saved." And the result of that, God says, is a changed life. He comes to live inside of us. He makes us his child. We become part of his family. He gives us new desires, new goals, new values, new priorities. He changes our vocabulary. He changes our relationships. He changes everything about us. That's the proof that we've surrendered our life to him. Those are the people that are taken. Well, if everybody's not taken, then let's ask this question. What happens to the people that are left? I mean, are you telling me that what if a wife is a believer and a husband is not? Are you telling me that when the rapture happens, she just disappears and he's left behind? Yeah. Yeah. Are you telling me, what if we're the parents of two teenagers? And then they got saved at youth camp this year or last year, and this rapture happens, and they disappear, but mom and dad aren't believers. The kids go, and mom and dad are left. Yeah, that's how it happens. Huh. So what happens to these people that are left? Well, you know what? At first, life won't change. I mean, we're already being set up. The media's already got the spin on how they're going to explain this, right? It was all because of what? Aliens. Yeah. I mean, we've studied this. We know this. I mean, you know what? The aliens just came, sucked people out of the world. Yeah. Oh, what if flying back from Israel, my pilot was a believer? And the rapture happened, and all of a sudden, zoop, nobody's in the cockpit. Yeah. Think about the cars that are being driven when he comes back, and the believers that are driving disappear. Think about the doctors that are in the middle of operations in the hospital that are believers, and they disappear. You just start running with all of this. Oh, my goodness, we're talking about some serious stuff. But at first, it gets explained away. And if you've been watching the news in the last several months, something can be a hot topic for a couple of days, and then what happens to it? You don't hear about it anymore. Yep, aliens got them, done, gone. Let's just move on. You know what? Your work will go on. Your business isn't going to fold. Somebody will be there to carry on, to keep the accounts going, to keep the bills paid. You know what? Our schools will function. There'll be teachers that'll be there. There'll be administrators that will be there to keep the doors open. You know what? Churches will continue to meet. You know what? If it happened this week, there'll be a service in this building next Sunday. And there will be some of you that will be here to be a part of that service. Wow, I guess you just do paper, rock, and scissors and see who you want to be your pastor. But there's going to be some churches that'll have pastors. You mean all pastors aren't believers? Because it's not your job that's the determining factor. It's your personal relationship with Almighty God. Unbelievable. So at first, nothing will change. And then as the Antichrist takes over and gets more powerful, and the one world government begins to form, and you're already seeing the pieces of that come together. Yes, yes. And if you can't say yes, you need to start opening your eyes. Today we call it what? Globalism. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Is America a globalist or nationalist? Oh, we're global. We want a global currency. We want a global government. And the Antichrist and the false prophet will establish a global religion that the Pope is working hard to combine the Catholic world with the Muslim world, with the Jewish world, to make one worship. Oh, folks, the pieces are here. It's got to be close. At first, nothing will change. And then, not to be crass in any way, but then all hell breaks loose. Most of the people that are left behind will die. They will not survive. Now, oh, yeah. Well, we're from Alabama. I can survive in the woods. I can hunt and fish. No, you can't. No, you can't. They'll find you. They'll find you. Yeah. I thought I could hide in Israel with COVID. First day I tested negative, I said, come on, man, I'm out of jail. Let's go. I crossed the street from the hotel and my phone rang. It was an Israeli number, so I didn't answer it. But the other lady that had tested positive and we couldn't fly, her phone rang. Ma'am, this is the IDF. We're in charge of everybody in Israel with COVID. Why are you out of your room? Brother was watching. And you won't get away. You won't get away. You can run, but you can't what? You can't hide. You can't hide during the tribulation. Most of the people will die. Are people going to be saved during the tribulation? Yeah. Who are they? Jews. Because all of a sudden, they're going to begin to see the one that they pierced and realize that he was the, or is, the Messiah. And so Jews, by the thousands, are going to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. People who've never heard the gospel will have the opportunity to be saved. But what about people? I mean, like some of y'all this morning. What about people who've heard the gospel and for one reason or another, I'm sure you have great reasons, you've just said, you know what, I'm not interested. Nah, you know what, I'm not into the church thing. I was hurt by the church when I was young. Yeah, you know what, I just am not ready. Here's what I said when I was a kid. Hey, listen, when this thing happens and I see it's real, I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to get saved. You ever heard anybody say that? They're crazy. Because I want you to listen to what Scripture says. Pardon me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 9 through 12 says this, "The coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception," hang on to deception, "among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved." They said, no, thank you. We'll do it later. I'm not interested. And for this reason, what reason? The reason that they're not interested, the reason that they didn't get saved, for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe what? The lie. What kind of lie? Man, God doesn't love you. He doesn't care about you. Man, you're here by yourself. Your whole family's gone. If God cared about you, he would have taken you too. God doesn't care about you. No, look at this, look at this, look at that. And you know what? There won't be a desire in your body to give your life to God. You're going to be so angry, so bitter, so ticked. You're going to believe that lie that Satan's feeding you, and you just, I'm done with God. Wow. Are you telling me that if I've heard the gospel, I've heard that salvation is available, and I've said no, that when the rapture happens, are you telling me I can't get saved? I'm not telling you that. God is. That's why it's so important. That's why you can't play around with it. Well, maybe we've got another few years. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe not. And for you, if you don't, your eternity is sealed. Wow. You know, the question that in conversations about the rapture that you're asked the most, and it would be me as well, because I have kids. I have little grandkids. What happens to the children? Now think about this. That's a wide, huge question. When you say children, how does that go? Does that stop at 6 or 12 or 18? Where's this range that you're calling children? Well, I've heard about this thing called the age of accountability. All right, let me clear things up for you. Number one, the Bible never defines what an age of accountability is. And it's all in conjunction in Scripture with death. Death and the rapture, two radically different events. All right? So are we talking about only children go in the rapture that have given their lives to Christ? When Camp in the City comes, not this week, but next week, and children get saved, will those be the only children that go in the rapture? Will it be children whose parents are believers? Will they be taken in the rapture? Well, then now you've really made it complicated, because what if there's not a dad, then it's just a mom? What if it's mom and stepdad? What if the grandparents are raising the kids? What if one parent is saved and one parent is lost? You've made this very complicated. Oh my goodness. Well, what if there's a lady who is expecting and she's a believer? Does her baby go with her? And the answer to that, we know, is absolutely yes. What happens to the baby that has a lost mom? Wow, boy, this question of what happens to the children, it got deep real quick, doesn't it? And you know what? We don't have all the answers. I can't stand here and tell you this is what will happen. Here's what I do know. God is righteous. God is just. God is holy. And God will always do the right thing. And so that's where our faith has to be. I'm trusting God that He's in control. And I'm glad I'm just in sales and not management. Okay? Everybody good? We can't answer that question. But here's a question that we can answer. If the rapture happened this morning, would you go? I can't answer that for you, but you can. Would you go if the rapture happened this morning? Have you surrendered your life to Christ? Does He live inside of you? Do you enjoy that vibrant, passionate, personal relationship with Him? That's the proof that you've been saved. If the rapture happened this morning, would you go? See, a lot of you are believers this morning. Let me ask you a little bit deeper question. Because as a believer, it's very easy to have the church answer and say, yes, I would go. Because I'm a believer. I've checked that box. Let me ask you this. Does the rapture change the way you live your life every day or every week? When I started this morning, and I ask you if you've even thought about it this week, and in honesty, you said, you know, I hadn't. If you don't even think about it, if it doesn't affect your life at all, do you really believe it? Or if you really believe, would it change the way you live? Well, that's a deep question for you to answer this morning. What if the rapture happened this morning? And your answer would be, you know what, I'm not sure that I would go. Or maybe you would say, you know what, I don't even have to wonder. I know I wouldn't go. Maybe I've come to church since I was little. Maybe this is the first time you've walked in church in many years. You know what? Maybe you've been a part of a church before. Maybe you hadn't wanted anything to do with church. Leave that out of it. If you wouldn't go in the rapture, you can change that this morning by giving your life to Christ. If you'll say, God, I give you my life. I want to be saved. I want to be your child. I want to be forgiven. I want to give you my life. Is it going to happen? Absolutely, no doubt about it. When will it happen? Could be today. Could be 10 years from now. I think we're so close. I think we're so close that you can't afford to gamble one more day. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, We thank you that you love us enough that you made salvation available. Thank you, Father, that you love us enough that you're coming back for us as your children, your believers. God, we look forward to that day when just instantly we're gone, and Scripture says we are face to face with you forever and ever. Father, I pray for the people in this room this morning that have never surrendered their lives to you, that today, right now, in the privacy of each person's heart, they would say, God, I give you my life. Lord, I want to be saved today. Lord, I give you, I ask you to be my Savior and my Lord. And Father, I thank you that we can trust you to forgive us and to be our Savior. Father, thank you for what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.